Aaron, you said you had something for us?
Oh, so much pressure. But it's interesting that you ask me such a question. I was thinking the other day about concert halls. You guys know how, like, concert halls?
Yeah, sure. Like a venue.
A venue? Well, concert hall specifically, but yes. The sound
Okay.
from a musician bounces, right? Bounces all around the concert hall. Bounces off the walls, Cade.
Yeah, bounces.
Bounces off the ceiling. You know that weird
Sound will do
shapes they
that.
put in the ceiling? Bounces right
Acoustics.
off of there. That's right.
Acoustics.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How come the sound a pigeon makes doesn't bounce off them walls, Cade?
What? Are you certain that that's the case?
I'm certain of it. You know why?
Why?
Because a coup sticks.
You son of a
Boom.
dead. Oh my gosh. Sir, what a lead in to season
I
two.
laughed for an hour and a half.
Did your
One and a half
8-year
hours.
old son tell you that joke?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
High quality dad humor. Yeah.
I've
Cade?
never been prouder.
Yeah, man.
Who are we?
We're the High Dads, and we're three guys. We like to make cocktails. We like to talk about the history of those cocktails, learn about them, and then make them, and maybe make a few riffs and some different variations of those types of things. So we're spread out throughout the country. We're not bartenders. We're just dads. So we talk about that and being dads and family life and stuff like that.
So tonight, today, whatever time it is you're listening to this podcast, we took on kind of an ambitious season premiere. I feel like we're going to tackle tequila, the entire spirit.
Tequila.
Yeah. Yeah. So
Seems like a lot.
it's going to be a lot, but I think it's going to be awesome. It's been a lot of fun to research this. So I think what we need is everybody needs to grab a tequila cocktail
Oh, can we do a
to
classic?
listen along. So let's do the most classic tequila cocktail, the what comes to everybody's
So
mind when
excited.
you do tequila cocktail. It is the Paloma.
Paloma!
Of course, the Paloma, the most popular tequila cocktail ever made.
I can't think of another.
There's only one delicious classic tequila cocktail. Let me do that again. There's only one. No, I'm not doing
I give
it.
up. So, Cade, why don't you walk us through making a Paloma?
Because I don't want to, but Aaron does. But
Okay,
Aaron does.
Aaron.
Aaron will walk us through one.
Is that how who we decided?
that was the
Is that where
hardest
we
nope I
settled?
ever heard. Well, listen, he was confident. So I'm gonna tell you what, I'm about to make Paloma. We're gonna need 2 ounces of grapefruit juice, freshly squeezed. Okay. None of that,
Was it?
refrigerated stuff. 1 ounce freshly squeezed lime juice. I'm gonna do tequila.
Okay.
Altos. Olmeca
Oh,
Altos.
okay.
Good one. A good one.
I'm gonna do 2 ounces fresh grapefruit juice, 2 ounces of that tequila, 1 ounce of lime. I'm gonna do probably about a half ounce of this Mike's Hot Honey stuff. It's like
Oh.
honey infused with chilies.
Ooh, that sounds real good. Nice.
Honey, chilies, vinegar. Oh, baby. So I'm gonna do about a half ounce of that. Is that everything? Yeah, I'm gonna shake that up. I'm gonna pour that shaken ice into a highball glass, and I'm gonna top that off with maybe, like an ounce to 2 ounces of Topo Chico.
There
Oh,
you go.
swizzle that up.
There you have it. Do you have
Paloma.
Topo Chico?
I have a Topo Chico. I do.
But do you have to use Topo Chico?
I have to use it. That's what I have.
Does the listener must they use Topo Chico?
I don't care about them if I'm
I
just
think
being totally
you can use
honest.
any plain soda water. I think classically it is also a grapefruit soda could be used there.
But
Quart.
not me though.
hookups.
He's gotta use hookups.
So Aaron, we touched, you know, briefly on that one ingredient, tequila. What kind of tequila was it again? It was Altos Olmeca.
Olmeca Altos. Olmeca, Reposado is what I'm using.
Oh, you used a Reposado. Interesting.
Search in there.
I wonder if we're going to learn a little bit about
Hecho in Mexico.
I don't know what that means. I hope we learn about it later. So I'll give y'all a little bit of a historical background on tequila. Here's the thing. The thing
Aztec of it is,
natives in Mexico were in love with the early tequila drink known as pulque. And what pulque was, it was the fermented sap of the agave plant. It was kind of, I saw it described more of like an agave wine than a spirit.
Okay.
And this drink could date back to 1000 BC by
Losers.
The Olmecs, Aaron.
Olmeca.
The Olmecs. A lot of people believe that they might have drank it in 1000 BC, but the first records of it are around 200 AD on stone walls in Mexico.
Whoa.
And yeah, they loved it so much, they were like, I gotta carve in this freaking wall about this drink.
Do you think
this picture is some drunk Aztec? What's that?
You think they were drinking this on Legends of the Hidden Temple?
No, they're not old enough there, bud.
weren't those Mayans?
No, they were miners.
You son of a gun. Nickelodeon.
Those were the names. We just lost every listener.
The Aztecs
sorry, Rusty.
Boozy gods because of the drink. Mayahuel was the goddess of the Maguey, which is the agave plant, and her husband, Petecatl, who was the god of pulque, which is the drink. So they had gods specifically for this drink. Isn't that cool?
That's pretty cool.
Wouldn't you agree that that's cool?
Sounds like a bunch of winos.
I mean, what else are you going to do? They didn't have electricity or anything like that. So.
All right.
How do y'all think they discovered that sap was alcoholic?
Sitting around in a pool, fermented, and they just ate it, right?
I think they would probably try to store it, and then if they stored it, maybe some got wet, and then actually got yeast on it and fermented?
That's kind of what I was thinking. Like somebody, some old Aztecian was like, oh, shnikes, I left this stuff out for a couple weeks. I wonder if I could still drink it. Takes a whiff. Ooh, smells funky. Let me try this. Takes a sip.
Eat it.
Keeps drinking it and gets drunk and like wakes up the next day. Like I'm feel a little sick, but that was awesome. And ultimately I'm fine. So this is a drink.
He probably thought he had a religious experience.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, named a god after it.
Yeah. So the Aztecs, they drank pulque for centuries until the Spanish invaded.
Conquistadors.
Specifically, Cristobal de Oñate conquered the territory, which he renamed Santiago de Tequila.
Okay.
And that is in present-day Jalisco. And the conquistadors were required to send reports to the King of Spain about all the things that they found and the cultures and specifically, you know, what can we make money from?
Yeah.
And
make money from them winos.
Well, he told the King of Spain, the locals here make wine and sugar from this plant called agave, and they trade it and they sell it. And within a year, the Spanish conquistadors, they were settled in and they started running low on their brandy reserves. So what did they do? They adapted the agave spirit, the pulque, and they started building these mud and wood pot stills, and they distilled the pulque.
Okay.
So by the mid-1500s, they had this drink that they called mezcale, which is probably what, you know, turned into the word mezcal, the mezcale.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
With you so far.
There's a little bit of controversy here.
I'd love to hear it.
Some people theorize that maybe the Filipino sailors invented mezcal first, or even at the same time, because they came over on ships from Manila, and they already had their own pot stills, hoping to produce coconut arak.
Pot stilla from Manila?
Pot stilla from Manila. That's what they called them. And but then, you know, the same thing happened. They couldn't really make their coconut arak. They were running out of reserves, and they started distilling the agave plant.
Nice.
Yeah.
Distilling the pot stilla from Manila.
So, we're still not. What's up?
That's what's growing there, so that's what they're going to ferment.
Yeah, buddy. Everybody makes them boozes.
A lot of desert. You know, can you distill a cactus or whatever?
Can you?
This agave plant had juices inside, so that's what they went with.
Sean, what's it called to distill a cactus?
Is this a joke setup? I don't know.
No, man, you did history. You don't know this?
I don't know. What's it called?
Ow, mother!
Did you just poke yourself with a cactus?
Everything's fine over here. Guys, all right, I got an admission. I skinned my knee like a school child yesterday on the sidewalk outside my house. And I just
playing hopscotch with your son, weren't you?
Fell onto it like a fool. So now I got rug burns on top of skint's knee like a child.
For at least 20 years, I haven't had a skinned knee.
Well,
it's been a long time.
I tell you what, my safety chalkboard number just went to zero, Kane. All right. And yesterday was the first time in 20 years it went to zero. So that's, I'm two for two, two in a row.
Wow. I wouldn't say it's been 20 years, but I also can't remember the last time I skinned my knee.
Man, I think the one that sticks out, it may not be the last time, but I was in front of the house and me and a buddy in the neighborhood riding bikes, and our tires collided, like my front tire, his back tire. My front tire stopped instantly, and the bike kept going over the top of that front tire, and I flipped over. No, we didn't wear, like, you know, it's the 90s.
Oh, I thought you were talking about, like, last week.
No. Nah,
I'm like, oh, nah, look at Aaron. He's,
I skinned my from my wrist to my elbows, both arms skinned. Like, just blood, and my knees, shins, calves, just, I skidded across the pavement. The neighbors were out front of their house. They came running out, like, they were like, this kid's dead. It was rough.
But you weren't, were you?
No, I was good. I had scars for years, though, like, after that.
Like,
they're pretty much gone
physical
now.
Scars or, like, mental scars?
Probably both, bud. But I blocked a lot of other crap out.
I haven't ridden a bike since.
Just bury that stuff deep down, bud. You're fine.
Just tuck it away with all the other childhood traumas.
Start a podcast. No big deal.
Start a podcast about the habit I formed to get rid of all that trauma.
Back on track.
All right, back on track. So, regardless of who did it first, in the 1600s, Don Pedro Sanchez de Tagle is credited with being the first person to commercially produce mezcali. And supposedly, he's the man who started calling it tequila. Because he built his distillery in what is present-day Tequila, Jalisco. And
what kind of agave did he use?
Well, I'm going to get to that, buddy. You just wait.
You don't know, do you?
Oh, you just wait, buddy. You just wait. goodness.
Are you okay?
Do I need to call an ambulance?
We're old men.
We're not that old. So anyway, yeah, this guy, he started trading with Manila, the spirit. That was largely what they were starting to trade with the Philippines there. The Cuervo family started distilling commercially in 1758. That name is probably familiar.
I've heard of that.
Jose?
Jose.
Yeah, Jose Cuervo.
So, Sean, I do have a question. They were trading with the Philippines pretty often?
I guess so. So, you know, I didn't really get a chance to look into that a whole lot. Supposedly, the Filipino sailors were over there in Mexico, and then some trade routes were established between there and Manila. So, yeah. I mean, I guess there's some Filipino influence there in the culture.
But is tequila popular in the Philippines?
I don't know. I've never been.
Me neither. Just curious if it took a stronghold there because they were trading with it since ancient times.
I mean, it would make sense, you know, if there was demand for it and if all they were drinking was coconut arak and then they got this tequila, you know, I would be like, okay, yeah, let's mix it up a little.
Yeah.
Maybe put the two together.
There's a lot of emphasis on this point for the end and a question mark.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I bet our listeners know. Send us a DM on the Instagram, HIII_DADZ, and let us know. Let us know. If you're from
Manila. Way to go. Now that boring part's got to stay in.
y'all drinking a lot of tequila over there in the Philippines, huh? Yeah.
They will now.
All right.
They'll love
it. You know, did you hear about in Japan, they're actually encouraging their populace to drink more?
You know what I heard about Japan?
Did you hear about that?
I didn't hear about that. Why are they encouraging them to drink more in Japan?
Oh, man, you're really putting me on the spot.
I bet I know why. It's because it's further north, south, east, and west than North Korea.
What? No, I don't think that's why.
It's true, though.
But I don't think that's related, though.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Did you just watch a documentary?
Man, I watch documentaries all the time. Are you for real? Did you know that the North American flying squirrel has to eat 20 calories a night in the winter to survive?
Oh, dude, I can eat that.
That doesn't seem like
that's not a lot.
In the winter?
That's like half an Oreo.
In the winter?
Did you say half an Oreo? Because, Cade, that's like an eighth of an Oreo.
Okay.
I don't know. They live in Canada or something. There's no food around. That doesn't sound that amazing, but earlier...
What were you doing earlier that was so amazing?
Man, the documentary was on the TV earlier. You for real?
So the Cuervos start distilling tequila in 1758. And then the Sauza family's like, no way, Jose, I'm going to do this too.
Did he really say that?
And they start distilling tequila in 1873.
Okay.
And Don Sinobio Sauza is credited with being the guy who said the blue agave is the best agave for tequila.
Man,
that's where it came from.
So that is the record of when, as far as we know, modern tequila started being made out of the blue agave. So it might have been sooner, but that declaration was really the known starting point. And he was also the president of the Village of Tequila.
Gotcha.
In the late 1800s. So he also started exporting tequila into the United States. So we can thank him for bringing tequila to the U.S. Yeah.
Thanks, Sauza.
Yeah.
Those squirrels also glow in ultraviolet light. I mean,
Aaron.
Can't let it go. It's amazing. They're flying squirrels.
He's going to make this editing such a pain.
That's staying in.
But here's the thing. You know, the rest of this episode, we're going to talk about flying squirrels so much. Like, you're going to have to leave it in.
Hey, Cade,
all I'm hearing is Cade hates flying squirrels.
Hey, speaking of cutting out, you guys are not out of your first drink yet? Because I went through that Paloma. It's so delicious.
I'm not. Here's the thing. I've got one other tiny little historical tidbit. And then we've got, that's a great breaking point.
Is it a quick one?
It's a quick one. During Prohibition, tequila really took off.
He's like, let me prohibit these guys. Talking about Prohibition.
Well, so people in the U.S., they're drinking crappy whiskey and moonshine and bathtub gin. Yeah. And people started bootlegging tequila up from Mexico And a lot of people would go across the border to visit bars in Tijuana. So that prohibition really boosted the American obsession with tequila.
Prohibition.
Thank prohibition again. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's some laws and standards for what tequila is and what it isn't, and distillation laws and all kinds of things.
Before I listen to the laws, I'm going to take a little break.
That's what I was going to say, Aaron.
Take a little siesta.
Let's take a break. Everybody make a drink, and then we'll get into our next little bit of conversation.
We'll be right back.
Boom.
And we're back. Sean, awesome history. Learned about where tequila came from. It's kind of origins in Mexican culture and surprisingly Filipino culture. They had a big hand in that with the trade routes. I'm gonna jump off with the next cocktail we're gonna make. This one's called Hot Time in Mexico City. Now this one actually calls for like a smoky mezcal, but you can do it with a tequila as well. So we're just gonna jump right in. 1.5 ounces of tequila in your shaker, then you're gonna do 1 ounce of Cochi Americano. You're going to do 3/4 ounces of grapefruit juice, 1/8 of an ounce of simple syrup, so like a splash. Then you're going to shake all that up vigorously.
Shake it out.
Then strain it into a coupe glass, sprinkle some salt on top, and then float a thinly sliced jalapeno on the top of it.
What'd you use, though?
Used a pickled pepper. Pepper, and I like the vinegar and the heat that it brings. It's a good little contrast.
Nice.
I'm enjoying it.
Oh man, Kate, I gotta tell you. Can I tell you?
Yeah, you can tell me.
Tell us.
That was delicious.
What'd you like about it, Aaron?
Everything. Honestly, a little bit spicy, a little bit sweet. You know.
So this grapefruity. This is the tequila episode, so we're just talking about tequila, but this one's tequila. Really, really good with mezcal when it's nice.
Smoky.
I can see that. I can see the smoke being a little better with this because I don't have Cochi Americano, so I just used a dry vermouth, and you know, it's got that vermouthy flavor to it, so I don't know the flavor profile of Cochi Americano. Maybe it's less vermouthy, in which case, you know, this probably would taste a lot better. Yeah. I think the mezcal in it, that smoky, would do really well. I used some of my spicy bitters, and it is really good, you know, so don't get me wrong. Even with the dry vermouth, this is a really good cocktail. It's kind of like fruity. I get like a, like apple-y notes. I get some apple notes out of this, strangely enough.
And there's no apple.
There's no apple.
Yeah. So I can talk a little bit about the difference between mezcal and tequila, and also just like what makes tequila.
Yeah.
So all tequila is mezcal, but not all mezcal is tequila. As Sean kind of mentioned. Tequila is only made from the blue agave or the blue Weber agave, also sometimes called agave tequiliana.
Is that its genus?
Probably. Genus? Yeah, probably. Yeah.
The genus Magia.
But so, like, Oaxaca is known for mezcal, kind of like Kentucky's known for bourbon. It's not the only place it's made, but it's...
Which old fashions do you prefer better?
What?
Kentucky or Oaxacan?
I've never had an Oaxacan old fashioned.
Are you for real? God.
They're so good.
Yeah. Sorry. Proceed.
So blue agave, or any agave plant, they germinate, they grow, you know, between 5 and 25 years. Blue agave only takes about 6 years, which is convenient since it's so popular. So anyway, they harvest this stuff with these pretty gnarly tools. It looks like a machete and a hoe.
And let me ask a question.
Like a giant shovel looking thing. Have you watched some videos of that?
I have.
Oh my God. It's insane. It's so, like, relaxing to watch those videos.
I didn't find it relaxing. It made me sweaty watching it.
All right.
Well, it's hard work. I'll tell you that. It looks very hard, but I just meant the craftsmanship of how
they make it look
metrical. They slice these things.
So they take this big cactus, this agave, and they slice it down, and they get it to the core, which is called the piña. And that's what they're actually going to, if they're going to do mezcal, they're going to smoke it in these big pits. But more modern methods, they use like an autoclave or a diffuser or even like a brick oven, which is, again.
For pizzas?
Pardon?
For pizzas?
No, not for pizzas, Aaron.
So, Kate, I got to ask you a question real quick.
Ask me.
You said the agave cactus. Agave isn't a cactus, right?
I don't know. Did I say that?
You did say that. I didn't. I thought it was a plant. I didn't think it was a cactus.
Looks more like aloe to me.
We might have to go back or cut that.
Can I ask you something, though? You said, did you say blue agave grows faster?
Yes.
Yeah.
Matures faster? Cool. So, like, is it, like, cheaper? You know, is this easier to reproduce?
I mean, like, the process is cheaper if it takes.
You think this is all marketing? Time? Is that why they make the thing where it has to be a certain type?
Just because a plant grows longer doesn't mean that, like, it's going to be better.
We got more of this. Let's make the law that you can't call it tequila unless it's this kind.
Well, Aaron, if there were potatoes that took like 3 weeks to grow and potatoes that took, you know, 8 months to grow, the 8 months potatoes don't necessarily taste better. You don't know.
How do you know?
I don't know. I've never met an 8 month potato.
Oh, baby.
So, to clarify, agave is actually like succulent.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I could suck on an agave.
Yeah.
I think you had some extra syllables.
The point of order, Sean, on agave. So they roast the piña, and then it's cooked down, and it's ready for them to start mixing water with it and making something that they can actually ferment. And that juice that they get from the piñas when they shred them is called mosto. Yeah, that's what goes in a tank with water.
So does the roasting, is that what kind of like, is it liquefying it? Is that what the roasting does?
Do they just sit around and just say like, agave, you dummy, you look like aloe, roasted.
Boom, roasted.
So the roasting process, what it's doing is breaking down the sugars.
Okay.
And making them into simple sugars that are going to come out in solution so that when you add the water, you add the yeast, it's actually going to ferment and break down into alcohol. That's the end goal here.
I am so glad we gave you this segment because you broke that down beautifully, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I don't think I would have in my, like, if I did my own research, I don't think I would have come to an understanding enough to be able to break it down so beautifully. Well done.
Well, I've
into
done
little, sugars.
I've done a little fermenting.
You're a bit of a fermenter.
Yeah. So these tequilas, once you ferment it, you get this sort of liquor, then you're going to distill it, and then you've got your actual liquor. You're ready to go. But what do you do with it? If you just take it and you put it in a bottle and you want to put it on the shelf, that's going to be a Blanco tequila, as long as it's made with 100% blue agave. If it's not made with 100% blue agave, if it has additives.
Are you sure it's not like 99%?
Nope. 100% blue agave.
Are you sure it's not like 99%?
Or a Blanco, it has to be 100% blue agave.
Touche. Point of order.
Otherwise, it's a mixto.
Maybe we'll learn something different when we get to Aaron's segment.
That's right. So as you move up from a Blanco, there's it's kind of a newer class of tequila called Joven, which just means young.
Hoven.
Pardon?
Hoven.
Hoven. Okay.
Hoven.
It's called Hoven.
And I'll be hoving another one.
kind of a new category. It's a mix of 51% blue agave juices. The rest can be from other types of agave. And sometimes it's mixed with like a reposado, like an older tequila and a newer tequila, which gets you to reposado, which just means rested. It sits in a barrel for 2 to 11 months.
That makes it
a reposado, gives it a little bit of age, a little more flavor, a little more depth of character. If you let it sit longer, you know, 1 to 3 years in an oak barrel, then it's going to be an añejo. They commonly use ex-American whiskey or French oak barrels for this part of the resting. If you let it sit longer, 3 years or more, you're getting to extra añejo. Obviously, you're getting more character, more of those notes of like almost like a whiskey or a scotch.
You know, I was going to say I've done a few tequila tasting flights that had añejos and extra añejos on there. It really does sit like a nice whiskey or scotch, just like you're saying. And you just drink it neat. It's very good.
Yeah. And
quite honestly, until I had done something like that at a reputable like establishment that had good tequilas, I was always kind of like, oh, I don't like tequila.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't had the experience of good tequila. And so my only tequilas at the time were Jose Cuervo
Gold, like
that, or frozen drinks that were just made with whatever that freezes easily. It's not for me. I'm not a tequila drinker, I guess. And then I had that and I was like, whoa, there's depth and there's all this kind of stuff to it. So it really helped me branch out into tequila drinks.
Well, I'm a tequila novice, but just the little bit of experimentation I've done over the last few weeks with Blanco and Añejo, the Añejo is, I mean, I don't think you always mix cocktails with Añejo, but I think Blanco is what they usually say make cocktails with, but the Añejo is far superior and it's got much better flavor.
So I typically do reposados for cocktails.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's one more category, which is kind of the new kid on the block. I haven't tried it. It's called Cristalino. And
ugh.
So what?
Don't get me started.
You crotchety old man. What the kids are drinking?
No, I'm kind of with
it.
Aaron. I think it's marketing BS.
It's stupid.
You're taking an aged tequila and then you're filtering it to remove like the tannins and the flavors and
for
things.
For no reason. They just wanted to be clear. Like,
why are you doing this extra step?
And it also removes the color. Good, so
it takes the flavor out too.
Why would you take this good drink and be like, hey, you know what? This good drink, let's make it a little worse.
I mean, if someone said, hey, I'm going to take your bottle of Lafroy and I'm going to run it through a charcoal filter and it's give you this clear liquor afterwards, I would say, take your hands off my bottle, sir.
Crystal clear.
Ugh. Yeah. It doesn't seem like a smart thing to do. So I think it's marketing.
Do they jack up the price?
And they do it for... No, yeah, because they use Añejo for the most part.
I know.
Which is ridiculous.
If you're taking something and doing extra steps, you're charging more for it.
You age it for years and then you say, let's undo that.
Well, let me throw this out
Control
at you.
Control Z.
Let me throw this out at you. Have y'all ever had a clarified cocktail?
I haven't actually, no.
No.
But so
I've heard, you know what I've heard about them, Sean? I've heard they're smooth.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe to get some extra smoothness, it's worth it to go through. I've never had it, so I can't speak to it. I like to try things before I fully pass judgment on it.
You know how they make it, right? The most common method is they add activated charcoal dust into the final product there, and then they paper filter it to get all the charcoal out of there.
That seems pretty bush league.
That's how they do it, man. According to, like, the distillers, some famously, you know, like, the one lady that does it right, per her.
per her. What? Per
her. And like an art, you know. It's like an art to keep the flavor in there, but eliminate the color and keep all the aged flavor. And most of the most popular ones, like all the aged flavor is out. You know, that's what most of the reviews say.
Interesting. Yeah, so I'm not sold on the idea of Cristalino tequila. It just doesn't seem like something I'm interested in spending my money on.
Seems but like a waste.
To each their own. So that's kind of the different styles of tequilas and where it's made, how it's made, and that sort of thing. All tequila, all mezcal must be produced in Mexico to be labeled as such.
Tequila is more specific than mezcal, right? There's limited Mexican states that it can be created in addition to having to be 100% Blue Weber agave. Is that correct?
Are you telling me or asking me?
What are all the laws, Cade? Did you is that all the laws? Just the blue agave? Or are there more laws?
I didn't read through the entire Mexican Constitution, mother.
He doesn't know. We stumped Cade. We stopped victory.
This is my favorite segment by far.
Victory.
Who's the doctor now?
I can't wait. I can't wait for Cade to do another history. He's gonna know. He's gonna know centuries of backstory.
Sorry, I didn't read that one particular aspect of the law.
I went to school to get a doctorate, but I don't know what.
Dr. Cade on the case.
All right, moving along. Moving along.
Perfect.
What's next, guys? Where are we headed?
Well, I Mexico. Tell you what I'm not talking about.
Hi,
anymore.
Dad's on
Cristalinos. Location. Not talking about those in Omo.
Done talking about Cristalinos, right?
Cristalino. Yeah,
so I think we've covered all the different types of tequilas pretty exhaustively.
That was awesome. That was really good. I like that. That was very interesting.
Well, thank you. Do we want to take a quick little break here and we'll come back. We'll make another cocktail and then we'll talk about some other.
Let's do it.
Yes. Cutting out a little bit, Cade. You're cutting
okay,
out.
Okay, sorry. I'll hold my phone up.
There you go.
Speaking right. of hold my phone, can you guys hold my drink? Can I tell you what I made?
Yeah, tell us what you made.
Oh, buddy. It's called the Siesta. Have you ever had one of these?
Yeah, I take siestas all the time.
Not those kind. Not with twins. You'll never get those again.
I was going to say, I'm actually lying. I haven't taken a siesta in way too long. I love siestas, though. The nap and the drink.
Let's talk about the drink.
Well, to make the drink, what you're going to need is... I did a little riff on it. I did, instead of simple syrup, I did 3/4 ounces Mike's Hot Honey. The honey with chilies again. I'm all over it tonight.
But normally it's agave or simple syrup?
Agave or simple syrup, correct.
Yeah.
And same amount of fresh lime juice.
Ooh. Okay.
Then we're going to go 1/2 ounce of favorite bitter, Campari. Followed by 1/2 ounce of fresh grapefruit juice.
Love grapefruit juice.
Grab your favorite Reposado tequila. Put 2 ounces of it in there. Shake it up. Double strain into a chilled coupe. Sprinkle the salt on top. Or, you know, if you have a spicy floater, pickled whatevers, put that on there too.
I think salt is commonly overlooked because I hate like a salt rimmed glass because it just crumbs up in your mouth, but mm-hmm. a little bit of sprinkling of a salt on top of the drink, it makes a difference.
I'm using kosher salt, so yeah, it does sink same. A little, but it does stick a little too, and it's delicious.
I just don't like the crunchy rims, but I do like it when it's sprinkled on top.
That's
of
too it. much. Yeah, it needs to be more subtle for this. It just breaks up the sweetness.
Yeah. So let me tell you what I really dislike about this drink is the ratios of 1/2 ounce, 3/4 ounce. So a lot of times I'll just
Flip your jigger over. Yeah, but that's why you got both sides.
But I'll double it so it's 1 ounce and then 1.5 ounces. Just
you just make a giant drink.
Do you hate that?
I hate the initial ratios, and so I double it, and it's better that way.
So just use. Why don't you just
use
the bottom?
It's the same drink, though. You just have more of it.
Why don't you just use the bottom, idiot? It has 1 ounce, and it has 1/2 ounce line. It has 3/4 ounce line. Are you for real?
I'm a doctor.
Dr. Cade!
If I double everything,
we got Dr. Cade!
All right, yeah, it's you don't like pouring weird ounceage, so you just make it easier ounce size. And the benefit is that now you get to drink more of it, and it's delicious. So I'm on board with that. I think that's actually pretty cool. I think the last word is typically like 0.75 ounces. It's a 1-to-1-to-1-to-1 cocktail, and they say 0.75. I'm like, screw that. I'm just going to do 1 ounce because that's easier. So. Yeah. Yeah,
this
I get
more
that.
This one's more complex. I agree.
I get that.
It tastes
that.
Delicious.
So this is a really good cocktail, though. The Siesta is
for sure
super good.
Going back, y'all, we're talking about salt, kosher salt, Aaron. That's what I use as well. We didn't really talk about salt all that much with our Paloma, did we?
I salted mine, babe.
I salted.
I guess we did talk about adding a little pinch of salt to it. What I like to do with my Palomas, I actually add 2 more ounces of liquor. I add 2 ounces of mezcal.
To your 2 ounces of tequila?
To the 2 ounces of tequila. You'd be very
That's
surprised.
A lot of booze.
It is a lot.
And I drink it for breakfast.
it goes so well. Like, it really does. And then I do...
Down on the bayou.
I knew that little salt rim to it. I do add a little salt rim to it. But I like to add a little chili powder. I do. I can't keep that up. I make a mixture of salt with some chili powder and smoked paprika.
Nice.
And so that it's not just salt. I've only done this with the Paloma, you know, my super strong Paloma. And I feel like it just cuts in very well. I understand not liking that crunchy, but since I've done that with my special Paloma, my high dad's Paloma, it's really good.
I'm really good. You haven't thought to use Tony Chachere's and just call it a Cajun Paloma.
Seriously.
So you say that, but I did use Tony Chachere's when we were together in Biloxi, and I made y'all Palomas, and Tony Chachere's is too salty.
It's true.
It's too salty, I think, for this sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, you could definitely add some cayenne.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think that would be really good to do that.
Wait, what would be really good?
Low sodium tahine mixed with the low salt.
Oh,
that works. Or just regular tahine, now that I think about it. But I have the low sodium tahine, and I mix it with a little kosher salt.
Because we're a bunch of old men, so we can do the low sodium.
For sure. We have white people taco night way too often. Yeah, I got a low sodium for sure.
You silly gringo.
Mm-hmm. It's delicious. Can't help myself.
So has anyone made a drink for their partner?
Drinks we make for our wives. So I made a Paloma for my wife.
Nice.
And, you know, well, why don't we just listen to, here's what she said after
just her. Just let her say it, man. Just let her stop mansplaining her explanation.
Here's what my wife said.
I don't know. Like, I like it, but it's grapefruit, right? Mm-hmm. It's not bad for a grapefruit drink.
Okay. Would you like it to be sweetened?
Slightly, I think that would be perfect.
All right. So, yeah, I think she was right, though, because typically when I make a Paloma, I like to sweeten it a little bit with agave. And I forgot to do that before giving it to her. So I added a little agave and mixed it in and gave it back to her. And then here's what she said after that.
And you want me to chug the whole thing?
If you like it.
That's much better.
You like that?
Yeah.
Is that a drink you could drink a whole one?
Are you going to take care of the children?
I'm not talking about tonight.
All right.
Yeah, she liked it better.
Yeah, I think the grapefruit's really bitter. And plain seltzer water can also be a little bitter. So I think the sweetness helped it for her.
Absolutely.
If you're making
it helps it for me too.
If you're making like a daytime Saturday type version, you can just add a bunch more, you know, like of your bubbly water.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And that takes the better, and instead of the sugar. And that's like a daytime refreshing style, more ranch watery style.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they are very similar to a ranch water. We haven't mentioned it yet, but a ranch water is so refreshing of a tequila cocktail drink.
So let's talk about it, because I really like the canned ranch water made by Lone Star Brewing. But
it's so easy to make your own too, Kate. I mean,
so
just grab a Topo Chico, bubbly carbonated water. Hold on, we'll get there, baby. I've got Topo Chico. For me, it has to be, bud. So Here's what you do. You squeeze.
So.
you squoze half a lime into the top of that bad boy. No, first you chug a little. You taste the Topo Chico. Delicious. Squeeze half a lime in there. Pour a couple ounces of tequila in there.
Mm-hmm.
End of recipe. Drink. The bubbles.
You know what I like about
tequila,
it?
Tequila. That's the lime.
Just fun.
Yeah.
It's just so a lot of fun.
Easy to do. You could do it on the beach if you needed to.
So all you're using is Topo Chico mineral water,
yes, sir.
Lime, and tequila.
That's the end of the recipe. Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm. And it is, I've only, like you, Kate, I'd only had the canned drink version, the seltzer water, which is a seltzer water flavored to taste like a ranch water. And it's close.
Ranch it's water, brand good. Ranch water. From I don't like know where it. They're from, but that one is really good. I think that's the one Kate specifically is talking about.
Lone Star,
that's right.
Yeah, and that's really good. But today, I made my first real one. Well, Texans would dispute if it was real because I couldn't find Topo Chico at my grocery store, so I just used some Perrier. But, man, it was so good. So refreshing. Hot day.
They're quite nice.
Working on the horse farm, you drink a little bit of mineral water and then
a little
fill
lower
the rest
ABV.
Back up with lime
just a little
juice
lower
and,
ABV
tequila.
Version.
Delicious.
Also so good with grapefruit, though.
It's actually Lone River.
Lone River.
I thought, yeah, the Lone Star is the one that you can get. But it's a worse version.
Lone River is the one that we're used to get. That is, it is really. Yeah.
Those guys are cool. You know, they've liked a Instagram post of ours before.
Well, good. They're expensive, but delicious. I'm on to you guys, though, now that I can make my own.
Right?
I'm going to find some Topo Chico and make some homemade ranch water. I really want to try it.
It's
with grapefruit too, bud.
I think once you do it, Cade, you're going to be a convert. You're going to be one of those people that's like, seltzer ranch water? No,
yeah, I think so too. This stuff is good, but
it is really good.
You know what I saw today was someone put like ounce and a half of vermouth and an ounce and a half of Campari into the Topo Chico, the same style. They took a swig out of there and they made like a low ABV Negroni seltzer. So that sounded interesting too.
I could fuck with that.
Sounds delightful outside in the sun.
That sounds really good. Why don't we grill? We should start pouring more random shit into seltzer water.
I'm saying.
So it really makes me want to just keg a whole.
Yes.
Ranch water.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Why haven't you?
I don't know. I haven't.
You should do that.
Okay. You should do that.
Do that.
We got him.
I'll do it.
Yeah, doctor. Why don't you do that?
I've got 10 gallons of vodka soda to work through, and then I'll do a ranch water.
Okay.
Ranch water.
I'm actually really interested to see how that turns out.
Yes.
I'm excited.
You guys ever wonder what the whole deal with the worm is?
Yeah, is that a thing?
As a schoolboy, I always heard there was worms in tequila.
Right.
And I become almost drinking age where I start sneaking it. No worms.
Aaron, I remember I had a bottle of Oaxacan tequila and it had the worm in it.
No way.
You and I were taking shots from it. And one of us had the worm, but then Doug wanted a shot with a worm in it.
This sounds very familiar.
Grande dropped a grub worm in his shot of tequila and he drank.
Yeah. Was at that time he pooped in the plant? Freaking Doug.
Were you there for that, Kate?
No.
Oh my gosh.
I don't remember if someone pooped in a plant.
It was so smelly. I have never laughed so hard in my entire life.
We were outside and we were.
It was an outside smell. It settled over the lawn like a fog over like a Scottish moor. I'm not kidding you.
Dozens of meters away, Cade, and we smelt it and we started dying. And then these sorority girls rounded the corner while he was still
sitting
in the paint.
He jumped up like he saw a ghost. He jumped up and just yanked his pants up, Cade.
And left.
And he ran away. And everyone is just standing around the courtyard.
We were
laughing.
Up.
I have tears in my eyes. I'm not messing around. I was crying.
He circled around the building And he comes up behind us where we're laughing. He's like, hey, y'all, what happened here?
We're like, you didn't wipe your butt. What are you doing?
And then he finished. He squatted down over the plant.
Yeah, he finished. Went back to the plant.
He finished pooping. Why outside, he came back. He did not run into his dorm room, which was that building probably, or the next one over.
Right outside their own building.
He finished pooping outside after he did a block.
Well, hey, man, college was a crazy time.
Everybody's got a Doug.
This was last week, Kate.
I'm just kidding.
That part's not real.
This was like 15 plus years ago.
No, this is one of those, like an anchor memory or whatever.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that one's in there.
A core memory. Like,
because I promise you, I was laughing. I couldn't control. That's one of those, I couldn't control the laughters. You know, this don't happen all that often. I couldn't stop. Yeah, it was real funny.
Oh, gosh.
But anyway, so the worm, though, traditionally the worm was only in mezcal, not tequila. Never tequila.
Why was it there, Aaron?
Because that is actually not a worm. It's a moth larvae that lives in the agave plant. So it's like just some guy accidentally had one in his batch of mezcal, and he claimed that it made it taste better. And so he started putting it, one of these larvae, in every single bottle he sold. So, like, basically, it's just marketing, you know, is what they say. Like, this guy just, he says this. He just puts the larvae in there. That's his shtick. So, like,
but
you know.
Is there any reputable mezcal or tequila that has the worm in it?
I don't know. I don't want to judge here, you know, but it was like a bandwagon thing. A bunch of people jumped on board and they were just like, this guy's selling a lot of mezcal. I'm going to put a worm in mine, you know, a larvae.
Was anyone still doing it?
Or a fad?
It was probably just a fad because, like, not these days, you don't really find it. You know what I'm saying?
The only time I've seen it is my wife went on a cruise before we were married with her family, and she brought me back one of those like souvenirs from Progresso, you know, the Carnival Cruise Line stops in Progresso and you go to that, like the tourist market. And it was two shot glasses. And in the middle of the two shot glasses was one of those single serving 2 ounce tequila bottles with a worm in.
Very nice.
I bet I still have it somewhere. So somewhere in my house, there is a worm.
Well, I really hoped that the part of my assignment that Cade would take is the additives part, because that's like, you know, laws, additives. But no, he didn't do that.
I didn't.
He left me to talk about these stupid additives.
That's kind of controversial, though, is additives in tequila.
First of all, because the use of additives in tequila is completely permitted. Under the normal rules governing tequila production, comma. But
wait,
there are a few caveats.
I'm not following anything that was just said. So,
Aaron, you made no sense just now. Start, keep it in, Cade. Keep this in, but Aaron, start again.
First of all, the use of tequilas. Nope. First of all.
He told himself nope. he's like here's a statement I'm currently in the process of saying nope, it's wrong.
Nope.
That's the hardest nope I've ever heard. First of all, the use of additives in tequila is completely permitted.
Is it?
Yeah, under the rules, the normal.
Are you saying normal?
Say normal, but say it normal.
Norma. The Norma.
Normal gene.
Are the rules called Norma?
The Norma. Anyways. There's a few caveats to these rules governing tequila production.
Tell us about them.
All right. They state a producer can use additives, and this does not need to be disclosed on the label. As long as it doesn't exceed 1% the total volume. Otherwise, it can be labeled liqueur or crema. So basically, these guys are cheating, Cade. Gotcha. Again. Number four.
Are you okay?
Gotcha. So basically, you can still put like 100% on there, even though you used some additives. You know, like the additives can do things that can like fake aged flavor a little bit, you know, but like you can't just completely like, so scientifically, you could take a Blanco tequila and use a certain combination of these additives and have a Reposado tequila. You couldn't distinguish it.
It wouldn't be a Hoven?
No.
Probably, but I'm just saying it wouldn't be allowed to be called, you know, like tequila.
The other thing that they can do is like, as long as they reside within that 1% allowed, apparently they add fake vanilla flavoring, mm-hmm. artificial sweeteners. Glycerin. So like, you might think you have a 100% blue agave tequila, but really it's 99% and, you know, maybe whatever aspartame or something. They don't have to disclose it.
What's aspartame, bud?
That's like the Diet Coke sweetener.
Are you trying to say aspartame?
Aspartame.
Are you for real?
I don't know. Are you? I thought that's the acne medicine.
Do you know or you don't know? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I don't know what.
Help me, Cade. Help me get to the bottom of this, please.
I'm still bad. Aspartame.
Is it aspartame? I have no idea.
Say it how you said it a second ago.
Aspartame.
Aspartame? Is there, I don't know, is there an M in there? Is the M silent?
Aspartame.
Aspartame. It's part of me.
What were we even talking?
Aspartame is an artificial sweetener sold under brand names.
I feel like I just did mushrooms because you created like a new brain canal for my nerve endings to go down.
And equal. So aspartame is an artificial sweetener. Y'all can both eat a butt.
Well, aspartame is.
Aspartame.
Let's see what aspartame is. Mm-hmm. Tame. Aspartame is an artificial. Wait, no, that's what I just did. Aspartame. Oh, okay. So y'all just say it differently then.
Yeah, we say it right.
It took so long to get there.
I don't know, man. Oh, y'all just say it differently.
I don't know. I've never taken a chemistry class. I don't know how to say this shit.
Oh my goodness.
I thought y'all were saying with an N.
No, aspartame, man. What's in Diet Coke?
Yeah.
Oh, so boy.
We're all right.
So actually, not at all, because the only four additives you can use is sugar syrup, glycerin, oak extract, and caramel color.
Okay, so there are limited ones you're allowed to use.
Yes, that's correct.
So, okay. And just one thing I'd read differently than what you guys said was that, from what I understood, the Blanco has to be 100%, but Reposado can be 99% because it's aged in a barrel and it's going to leach something from there. So it'd be hard to prove that it was 100%.
Yeah. Mostly, you probably wouldn't most do additives for the Blanco anyways, because you're not trying to get flavors.
Yeah.
You're not trying to fake the age flavors. Some people accuse, you know, like the cheaper Reposado tequilas of like cheating, right? Like that's cheating. You added, you know, you aged it less and you added more additives to it, but you still called it 100%, you know?
Yeah. And you know, the other, it's one, it's dishonest. It's not 100%. You're saying it's 100%. And then like two, it's like, you know, you're telling me it's one thing and it's not.
Some of them could be good though. You don't know. Some of them could be good. All depends on how you do it.
I'm reading here that as of February of 2013, which is relatively recent, no Blancos may contain additives, period.
Nice.
So no tequila in the Blanco Plata class may contain additives.
Are you going to celebrate
Dr. Cade was right. All right. Yeah.
Well, now you're just bragging. And on that note, you guys want to take a break? I think I got to say Dr. Cade was right. Made me nauseous. I'm going to take a little break. I haven't had a bad drink tonight, boys. Can I tell you? Are we coming back here? I have not had a bad drink tonight.
All these have been great.
Seriously. Sean, what you clanging on over there?
Putting my...
But what'd you make, buddy? What are them clangs? What are them clangs putting away?
What'd they
tell us about it?
The dry vermouth in my fridge.
What'd you make, baby?
I made the siesta, remember?
Nice.
Literally talked me through it a minute ago.
The listeners are amazed to hear.
Break, Sean.
Are we back?
We're back, buddy. Welcome to the podcast, Sean over here. Anyways, that sounds delicious. Did you do anything different?
I don't know.
Gotcha. We got the stupid weatherman.
You know what I added into it, Aaron?
Tell me now.
Some aspartame.
Perfect.
It's delicious too.
Love it.
What'd you make, Cade? I'd love to hear what you got rocking over there.
It's like a combination of the hot time in Mexico City and the siesta, just all the ingredients together. But instead of Campari, I used Aperol, which Sean was thinking about doing a 212 as another drink, but I don't think we're going to dive into that segment.
No, can I be honest with you, Cade? I've had a lot of drinks tonight. I don't know if we should do the 212. I know I just made a siesta. I could have just made a 212.
But it's kind of like a 212. Tell us what it is real quick. What is a 212, Sean?
All right, so the 212 is really good. It is 2 ounces of tequila, 1 ounce of Aperol, and 2 ounces of grapefruit juice. And you shake it, and you pour it over, kind of like old-fashioned style, over an ice globe, which is why I like it. Because there's not a lot of tequila drinks that we drink that are served that way. So I like that it's served that way.
I like that the numbers correspond to the ingredients.
The drink thing, it's so easy
to remember.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to make as well. And it really is. It was, it's very delicious.
How was it by the grill? How was that meat?
So I did grill some burgers while drinking a 212, and fantastic. My burgers turned out great. I do a really good, delicious mix of fatty meat.
What kind of cheeses did you use?
Healthy sirloin. Well, all right, so I'm a little down on the cheeses because I put my parents in charge of bringing that.
Rookie. What did he bring? Kraft American Singles?
Sean. No.
Sean, you want some... We got some Kraft.
No. Worse.
Garlic spread?
Sometimes they brought Borden American Singles. Borden.
With a weird cow on it.
Were they wrapped in wax?
Yeah. Hey, Dad, just bring the extra 15 cents and get Kraft.
Well, sorry, Mr. Brad, but that's a rookie move, bud.
As a father myself now, I don't blame you, Dad. You gotta save those pennies. Wherever
inflation is inflation, but you could still spring for Pepper J. I'm just saying.
I like an aged white cheddar when I used to eat cheese. Old Croc is it's a good one.
Old Croc is so good. I've never had it on a burger, but
man, it's good.
That's rich man talk.
Not when you're just eating a charcuterie.
Yeah, you have charcuterie.
It's a delicious charcuterie cheese.
You said have it on a burger, though.
You can have it on a burger. It's great.
Of course you could, rich man.
Here's the thing. You can put cheese on almost anything, Aaron.
You really can.
I don't know if you knew about that.
I definitely knew about that. I've had cheese on every meal this week. I haven't pooped all week. Definitely cut that out.
No, don't.
Well, I'll tell you this. Can I tell you about the spicy tequila honeybee?
Yeah.
Nobody is stopping you.
It is really good. I haven't had a lot of lemon tequila drinks.
What drink did you make, Aaron?
The spicy tequila honeybee.
What is it?
It's a lemon based tequila drink. So 2 ounces of, you know, your favorite reposado tequila, 1 ounce of your favorite honey syrup. I used, of course, Mike's spicy honey, Mike's hot honey, and 3/4 ounce of lemon juice, 2 dashes of Angostura bitters.
Oh,
shake that bad boy up. Rinse your coupe glass with a dash of mezcal. This would be a perfect opportunity to have some mezcal ready in a spritzer. But I just rinsed my glass with the mezcal, poured it out, you know, double strained that cocktail on top. It's quite nice.
Guys, I think mezcal in a spritzer is a great idea. I've got some Laphroaig in a spritzer. I know that's kind of a waste of good Laphroaig, but there's sometimes I have lots of different cocktails, and I think a little bit of smoke would be awesome on this.
I feel like mezcal is easier or cheaper, though, and you get the same effect.
Definitely.
But mezcal can get pretty expensive.
Mezcal can.
It can, yeah, for sure. But, like, this one that I'm using is Montelobos. It was, like, $40, which, I mean,
that's expensive.
But it's not scotch expensive.
That's true. Scotch can't.
Come on, man.
I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying that's still pretty expensive.
It's not cheap.
Not cheap.
But, yes.
Neither is scotch.
It's not scotch. Yes. Right. It ain't cheap, but it ain't scotch expensive.
Right.
I had, at a barbecue restaurant in New Orleans, I had a mezcal cocktail recently.
Which
down. It was called the Up in Smoke, and it had, they didn't put the proportions on their menu, but it was bourbon, mezcal, and they used a smoked simple syrup and also orange bitters and Angostura bitters.
Nice.
Bourbon and mezcal, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, they didn't get the proportions. I tried to recreate it at home.
Was it served like an old fashioned?
Good question.
They served it just with big ice cubes, but I bet it would be better as an old fashioned. Yeah.
Okay. That is like an old fashioned big ice cube.
No. Just ice cubes.
I don't know why
I said big. They're just bar ice cubes.
I got you.
Small ice cubes.
A glass.
Opposite of big ice cubes. Perfectly clear now.
There's a picture on our Instagram. Go take a look.
We got the weatherman.
But I'm assuming it's 1-to-1 mezcal and bourbon. And then what I think I didn't get correct on my remake was I think I put too little sweetener. Because theirs was a little, it was sweet. It was so good. So maybe this cocktail just blends better with extra sweetness. And then I did really well. I think I got the correct amount of Angostura bitters and orange bitters.
Nice.
And then it's garnished with an expressed orange peel.
Up in Smoke. Sounds
good. Take one of them.
It's really good.
I'll be hoving another one.
Well, guys, I think I've learned a lot about tequila. And I, before doing this research, I was a tequila novice. I mean, I don't know much about tequila as it is, but I think I've learned a pretty good bit about.
I think you were a little worried. I think you were kind of still in the realm of, I don't like tequila, but you know what? I'm open to learning about it.
I think he's into it now because Cade for sure did the most research.
He did
a thorough amount of research.
I did my research, both physically and mentally. But I mean it, like, you know, investing in a little bit of a better reposado makes a difference.
You know what I recommend to someone starting out with tequila?
What?
Is find a local taco restaurant that has a tequila expert and a large selection of tequilas. And I don't know what you said.
Man, I gotta tell y'all, my friend, our friend Grande took me and our other friend.
It's
Michael to a local taco restaurant, and he was the taco and tequila expert. Our friend Grande, not the people that work at the restaurant. He was like walking around to fridges behind the counter, like, here, try these Verde sauces. They make these fresh here, guys. And like, everybody, nobody looks. Like, all the people are still just making food. Nobody looks. Nobody bats an eye. They're just like, yes, it's Grande.
Grande.
Yeah, he's right. He's
he
right.
He does this from time to time.
And, yeah, and he's like, about to he's like,
a bottle of tequila. He's like, yep, there he goes.
100%. He's like, hey, Carol, bring us out some of that, you know, chili con queso or something like they make there. And delicious. Anyways, he fed us.
So anyway, I feel like I've learned a lot about tequila. And Sean, I think you did a great history on tequila. I think we learned a lot about the different styles of tequila. Aaron gave us some great insight in some of the controversies of tequila. And I think we've learned a few cocktails, some classic cocktails from tequila. And what is the classic tequila cocktail?
The Paloma!
Exactly. Do you guys want to play Rocket League?
I could, you know, we can make Second Chance if we leave right now.
Let's do it.
Aaron, can you hear me? Look into my eyes, buddy. I love you. Cade, happy season 2 premiere. I love you too.
Hey, great season 2 premiere, guys.
That was a good one. Love
you guys.
Yeah, I love y'all. Let's go play Rocket League. Let's win this tournament.
Bye, dads.
Bye, dads.